Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Welcome to another episode of the Tales for Life podcast. I'm happy you're joining me for another dose of folk knowledge. Today's episode features some timeless wisdom and one of my favorite stories. I've called this episode, A Little Kindness Goes a Long Way. Kindness is one of those words we hear a lot, and we nod our heads in agreement every time, but then we go on our way without doing anything. We know it's good to be kind. It's so good, in fact, that every religion on the planet has something in it about kindness. There have even been studies done on kindness that show its benefit to the one being kind, the one to whom the kindness is being done, and, get this, to anyone who sees the kindness being done. In other words, that little bit of kindness you show or perform has a ripple effect that positively impacts the world around you. There's another aspect to kindness that makes it worth noting, and that's the fact that kindness is, by and large, cheap or free. Yes, giving a dollar or two to someone on the street costs you a dollar or two, pretty puny by most standards. But lending a helping hand, saying a kind word, volunteering some time to family, friends, or strangers, all of that is free and priceless. This is important for our purposes for a few reasons. First, it means that kindness wasn't something limited to a specific class of people based on heritage or money. A peasant had as much ability to be kind as an emperor. Second, it was valuable. We all need help at one time or another. I talked about how achieving success takes a team in a prior podcast, always worth listening to if you haven't already. But kindness doesn't have to be associated with a goal. It's a good part of having a strong community and sense of togetherness. Kindness binds us together because when you give kindness, you're giving something of yourself. When you give something of yourself to someone else, it creates a bond that isn't easily broken. And third, because kindness has always been universal, it made a good topic for the folk, the ordinary people, like you and me. There are a multitude of stories about kindness from all over the globe. Androcles and the Lion, a tale about an escaped slave who pulls a thorn from a lion's paw and in return receives the lion's gratitude, is a story that dates back over 2,500 years. And there's a famous fable by Aesop, along the same lines with a lion, in his tale of the lion and the mouse. But I'm going to move away from Europe for one of my favorite tales on this theme, and it comes from Japan. No definitive age has been given to the tale, though picture books featuring it date back 400 years. It is known by many names, including The Gratitude of the Crane, The Crane Wife, and, in the case here, the Crane Maiden. Long ago in ancient Japan, an old couple lived all alone near the edges of a marsh. They were hard-working, but poor. One day, the old man was out gathering plants for them to cook that evening. As he walked back home along the trail, he heard a sharp cry and the sounds of someone, or something, struggling. He parted the long grasses at the trail's edge and walked carefully into the marsh. The sounds came from up ahead. Frightened, but still curious, the man stepped forward and looked. There, on the ground before him, lay a great white crane. Its leg was trapped in a snare, and it was flapping desperately about, trying to get free. Its eyes were wild with fear, and its wings were muddied. Slowly, gently, the man approached the crane. Somehow, the bird seemed to sense his intent and grew calm. The man bent down, loosened the trap from the crane's leg, and backed away. The crane stood up. Flexing its injured leg, it stood there looking directly at the old man with a great black eye. Then opening its wings, it flapped them once, twice, three times, lifted up off the muddy ground, and flew away. The man stood gazing after the great white bird as it made its way across the sky. "You are late," his wife said when the man returned home. "I have been worried. Are you all right?" "I am better than all right, dear wife. I have had an adventure." Then he told her of his finding the trapped crane, of the bird's panic and pain, and of the great joy he felt as he watched the white bird fly away. Then the wife steamed the plants he had gathered, and they ate their rice and drank their tea. When it grew late and the moon rose up and sailed across the sky, they let the fire sink down and they slept. The next morning, they were awakened by a knock at their door. The old woman opened the door, and there stood a young girl. "I am lost," she said. "May I come in?" "Of course. Come in, dear child," the old woman said. "Have a cup of tea. Sit down." So the girl came in. She was alone in the world, she said. "Let me confess," the girl added, after drinking some of the tea and eating some of the rice the old couple had given her. "I would like to stay here with you. You are kind people. I no longer wish to be alone. I am a hard worker. Please, let me stay." The old couple had always wanted a daughter, and so it was agreed. "Thank you," the girl said. "I do not think you will be sorry." She looked curiously around the house. She looked into the next room, and her face lit up. "I see you have a loom. May I use it from time to time?" "Daughter," the old woman said, "all that we have is yours. Of course you may use the loom." "I am a shy weaver," the girl said. "Please, mother, please, father, when I am weaving, do not look into the room until I am done. Will you promise me this?" "It will be as you wish, child." The next day, their new daughter said she would go into the weaving room. Neither her mother nor her father was to look in until her work was completed. The girl pulled the screen closed behind her as she went into the room and began to work. All day long the girl sat at the loom, and all day the old couple heard the clacking of the wooden beams, the whirring of the shuttle, and the spinning of the bobbins of thread. When it grew late and the sun began to set, the girl emerged from the room, pale and worn. In her hands was the most splendid kimono cloth the old couple had ever seen. The pattern was perfect, the colors glowing. Images of the marsh, the sun, and the flight of cranes flowed throughout the finely woven material. The old couple was astonished at their new daughter's skill. "Mother, father, please take this cloth to the market and sell it. With the money, your lives will become easier. I want to do this for you." The next day, the old man took the cloth to the town. Immediately, people began to bid for the beautiful cloth, which was at last sold for 3 bags of gold, an unheard-of sum. That night, the old couple and their daughter, dressed in new kimonos, ate a wonderful meal, all bought with just a small bit of the gold. For several months, life was easy, but then the money was gone. Once more, the daughter entered the room, closed the screen behind her, and began to weave. Hours later, she emerged, pale and worn. But in her arms was a cloth that shone like silver, filled with patterns of the moon and stars and moonlight shining on water. The old couple had never imagined a cloth of such stunning beauty. But once again the girl said, "Mother, father, do not keep the cloth. I can make more. Please sell it and use the money to care for your old age." Once again the man took the cloth to town. The merchants were astonished. They bid furiously one against the other until the cloth had been sold for 6 bags of gold. For many months the little family lived happily together. But in time, that money too ran out. The daughter went once more to the loom. But this time her mother and father were curious. Why must they not look? Why couldn't they take just a peek? If their daughter did not see them, they reasoned, it would not bother her at all. The man and woman knelt down and peered through a thin crack in the screen. There at the loom sat a great white crane. It was weaving its own feathers into the cloth. The crane turned toward the crack and looked at them with a great black, mournful eye. The man and woman jumped and tumbled backward, but it was too late. They had been seen. Later, their daughter emerged from the room, pale and worn. In her arms, she held a most magnificent cloth. On it were the images of the setting sun, the rising moon, the Martian autumn, and the long migrations of the cranes. On it also were the images of a man and woman watching a white crane fly away. "Father, mother," she said, "I had hoped to stay with you always, but you have seen me as I truly am. I am the crane you saved, father, from the trap. I wanted to repay you for your kindness. But now that you know this truth, I cannot stay with you." The old couple began to cry. They begged and pleaded, "Please, do not go. We do not care that you are a crane. We will tell no one. You are our daughter. We love you." "It is too late," the girl whispered. "The marshes call to me. The wind whispers my name, and I must answer. Perhaps all is as it should be. The debt has been paid. I shall never forget you. Farewell." The girl walked from the house and stood out in the open air. The man and woman watched in amazement as before their eyes their beautiful, pale daughter became a beautiful white crane. She flapped her wings once, twice, 3 times, then rose slowly up off the ground, circled the house, and flew away. "Farewell," said the man and woman, watching the crane disappear. "Sayonara." Each year after that, when the cranes migrated, the old couple left a silver dish of grain outside their door. And every year, a beautiful white crane came to eat that grain. It's a bit of a tearjerker of a story, but it's really a wonderful story nonetheless. And there isn't a whole lot that needs to be said about it, so I'm going to limit myself to just 2 points. First, it's not kindness if it's done with the idea of getting something back in return. That's called a job. You're not being kind when you're hoping or expecting to get something back. And I'm not saying that's wrong. It just isn't kindness. Second, it's worth noting the impact of the kind act of the old man. There was the joy he felt as the crane first flew off. This was followed by the joy of his wife when he then retold his adventure to her. And while it's not explicitly stated in the story, there was undoubtedly joy and thankfulness on behalf of the crane to be set free. Which leads to my last point. Kindness begets gratitude. The old man would have been happy without ever seeing the crane, knowing he had done something nice. But the crane didn't forget and found a way to express her gratitude. And this gratitude, like the act of kindness, had ripple effects that continued long after the act was complete. As you go about your day, week, whatever, How many chances do you have to do someone a little kindness? Even a small act that costs you nothing may make a big difference in someone's day or even life. What are you waiting for?